Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, welcome into Barely a Podcast, of course, the Windy City Gridiron podcast that we hold for breaking news, big news, and of course, a huge one for the Chicago Bears as Caleb Williams has his pro day. I should say USC has his pro day, but it seemed like it was pretty much just Caleb Williams' pro day. EJ Snyder, our very own EJ Snyder, of course, Windy City Gridiron draft expert, and of course, bootleg football with Brett Coleman. He was there in person. So who better to talk to about Caleb's pro day than EJ? EJ, how you doing?
I'm good. I've gone to just straight snorting Starbucks via at this point. I don't mix it with water anymore, and it seems to be working. So I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, you've been all over the West Coast here. And let's just start with a general question here. You were there. This was highly anticipated, a lot of media there. What was the overall vibe there in Los Angeles?
It's a strange mix of sort of relaxed Southern California morning at Randy's Donuts, you know, everybody milled in, but it was a big deal. You knew it was going to be a media circus. There's a very large crowd. I can say that having gone to other pro days this year with lots of draftable folks in attendance, the crowd was sizable. You knew it was going to be, it was largely for Caleb. They do have other talented players. I don't want to, you know, shove them into the corner and not talk about them, but this was absolutely the Caleb Williams show, and it came with all the sort of Southern California trappings. Local media obviously was making a feast out of it. National media was there. It was a big deal. It's the biggest one that I've been to, and it was a well-run event. It was focused. We'll talk about what pro days are for, but it was a big, cool event, and it definitely had that sort of air of, yeah, this guy's going to be the number one pick, and this is why this is important.
Now, you said it was a lot of people there, a lot of media there. So for people who don't know about pro days, like I know, for example, you were at Oregon and Oregon State just recently. And those, that it's an interesting group because, I mean, you've got JPJ, Franklin, Fuaga, mm-hmm. Bo Nix. Like you have plenty of first round talent. Fuaga, maybe a top 10 talent. Bo Nix, you know, one of the top 5-6 quarterbacks. So that's a lot of NFL talent there. So what is an Oregon State pro day look like compared to what this USC pro day was like?
I think they would sort of go up the level there. Oregon State would be the lowest because Fuaga is a headliner. Not a ton of talent, several draftable guys behind that, but definitely sort of down the board. Oregon, obviously a more high profile class. They've got a quarterback prospect that always elevates a pro day. Plus receivers, you mentioned JPJ, Franklin, and it's good safeties, corner. So that was, again, the next level up. More presence from like NFL media were there. About the same amount of teams, because obviously if you're going to go to Oregon State, you're going to go to Oregon as well. But pro days, as you said, they're a weird mix of media, scouts, sometimes elevating up to GMs. I think Eberflus was the only head coach at both OSU and Oregon. There were obviously all 32 teams represented at USC. Then there's family and there's agents. And then, you know, you add in the Caleb Williams factor and like everybody was there. Local print media, obviously NFL Network had their whole booth set up there and lights. And it just sort of, it ratchets up. So I would put Oregon State here because they have, you know, one prime guy and a couple others. Oregon was next up. It started to feel more like an event. And then USC was just kind of a whole nother level.
All right. Well, let's talk about Caleb Williams, the pro day here. We'll get into the throwing and what it looked like, but kind of let's just talk about the Chicago Bears presence for a second. And, you know, I'm not sitting there saying you were in the huddle with Ryan Poles and Carl Williams and what they were asking, what they were talking about. But it was interesting watching it unfold on television because it almost felt like it was just set up for the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams and Carl Williams. I mean, you saw the Washington contingent there. They looked sad. They just like damn yep. It. Like they just didn't look happy to be there. But I mean, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, Kerry Joseph, just, I don't know, you know, Brad Biggs said 8-9 people there from Chicago.
Yeah.
Really for Caleb Williams. I'm not saying they're not going to look at other players, but for it sure. just really felt like this was, and then Brad Biggs has the piece about they've already done dinner and they did almost a top 30 visit in, you know, with the whiteboard and everything, kind of did that already. Like a huge amount of work went into this Los Angeles trip for the Bears. And I mean, it's, you know, you never want to say anything certain because a wild red flag could come up on April 10th and everything is going to sure. change. I don't think anyone's expecting that to happen, but it felt like watching this unfold that this was a done deal. And this was just the Bears and Caleb Williams finalizing everything.
Fully agree. And unless something highly unlikely like that comes up, this is a done deal. And this was a handshake ceremony, gentleman's agreement in front of everybody else. And there was that vibe, like all the other teams have to be there again for the other athletes, but to do their due diligence, to look at Caleb. And they were all just kind of kicking rocks on the field. I mean, Josh McCown was there, Leinart was there, you know, scouts from all over the league are there. And they're all just kind of hands in their pockets talking like they're watching, but they're like, we're never going to see that guy. Like the only way we're going to see that guy is in a Bears uniform across the field from us. And so they were all like, you could tell it's hard not to look at Caleb Williams as an athlete. He is a tremendously fun watch, but they all sort of just, they were just shooting the shit on the field. Like that's what they were doing. They were just kind of like looking at him going, man, wouldn't it be nice? And that was generally the vibe of everybody except for the Bears, because I think it is well understood that yes, this is the move barring anything else. And everybody else is just like, look, Washington tried. Like Washington got Cliff, and Cliff like said, I would sell my right arm to have Caleb. And they tried. And Chicago said, we'll listen. That's due diligence, but we're not giving him to you. So everybody came into this going, well, the number two team in the league tried really hard. We don't have that much ammo. And yeah, he's going to Chicago. So it was very wistful, but that was a strange vibe to have on the field of like, we're sort of interested, but we know what's going on here. So we're not like scribbling notes furiously or doing things we would normally.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like when you talk about like Washington tried, and this isn't really about the pro day, but just kind of talking about it while we're here. I said this on Twitter, and I firmly believe it. Like if you have a QB1, if that's your conviction, and especially a talented player like Caleb Williams, who forget generational, but either way, if you are an intelligent scout and you look at this, the names John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, like those names over the last 40 years, you're putting him there. If you want to put those other ones ahead, I don't care where your rankings are, but he's that level. So I sit there and go, Washington could call me from number two and say, here's Jonathan Allen, Terry McLaurin, number two, and our one next year. And I would say, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next year. Like, I'm not interested, because if Caleb Williams becomes that dude, that top 3-4 player in the league kind of player, and you go with Drake May, and Drake May is fine. You know, Drake May becomes Derek Carr. You sit there and go, well, we have a good quarterback. Derek Carr would be one of the best quarterbacks in Bears history. But you'd be sitting there going, but we're going 10-7 every year. And Washington is going 13-4 and in the NFC championship game. If you've got conviction on a quarterback, EJ, you always have to do it.
Fully agree. I don't blame Cliff for shooting his shot. Obviously, he has familiarity. He's been around Caleb. He understands who he is as a person, as a player. And if he has that conviction and says, I can bring this guy to the next level where Cliff has been and win, then yeah, you have to grab for the brass ring. You know, I think Ryan Poles on the other side has to do the exact same thing that you said, which is take the call, be cordial, and say, yeah, nah, we're not doing it. I appreciate the offer, but we too have conviction. And unless something crazy happens, which we would not share with you, don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah. And before we get into the throwing, just one aspect, which to me is just kind of cool on multiple levels. Some people I think are trying to read too much into it, and the fact that he lives locally, but the fact that Keenan Allen showed up, and I almost called him Keenan Williams, Keenan Allen showed up in Bears gear, went over, found Caleb, shook his hand, and, you know, Caleb said, oh, I've met him a few times. I've known him for about a year. But the fact that he went up to me like, and I'm sure it was looking forward to catching balls from you next year kind of a thing.
For sure.
Like, that's, and like I said, I know they didn't, it's not like they're flying in DJ Moore or Cole Kmet or anything, but the fact that Keenan Allen, I don't know if it was the Bears' idea or his own idea, but just saying like, hey, let's come down to Pro Day and, you know, put, you know, shake hands, Keenan and Caleb. That's just awesome to see. Like, you're already like a step ahead.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned it. Somebody was like, I think Keenan's here. And I was like, what, what? And then I was like, oh yeah, of course he lives locally. He hasn't sold his house yet. He was playing for the Chargers for years and years. He's close. And, but it was cool to see him make that effort. You know, some people would think, oh, that's the most natural thing in the world. It's not. Like, professional athletes are really busy people and they don't always make time. It was very cool to see him make time, come down. It was definitely a thing. Like, it was, I don't know whose idea it was. Doesn't really matter. But it was definitely, you know, one of those photo opportunities where it was like, hey, Keenan Allen's here and he's going to be shaking Caleb's hand and you're going to want pictures of this. And USC made sure to make that happen. I'm not saying it was artificial. It, you know, it was true. And again, Caleb, as you said, hey, I've met him a couple times. This isn't the first time, but it is different. They're teammates now. They are going to be, you know, in the huddle in OTAs and everything else. And it was cool to see. It was just a neat ad that I haven't seen at other pro days necessarily. I've certainly seen, you know, players from local teams come by and things like that, but this was very direct, one-to-one.
Yeah, really was. So let's get into the workout throwing aspect of this. And let's first off, before we get into specifically what you saw from Caleb, let me ask you about throwing at a pro day. And obviously you were just there with Bo Nix.
Yep.
And I think there's a certain aspect that sometimes when you're going to these pro days and you're a team, like, there are athletes, you know, players that you really want to see and you need to see them work out to get to know them. But when you're looking at, and this isn't just Caleb Williams, but when you're looking at Caleb Williams, Drake May, you know, that low, Jaden Daniels, like, you've seen all the tape, you've got a lot already. So in general, when you're going to see a quarterback at a pro day and watch them throw, what is a team trying to gain from that?
Not a ton if it's a very experienced quarterback. It's funny you bring up Bo Nix. Bo Nix, obviously one of the most experienced starters in college football, 61 collegiate starts. If you need anything in a pro day that you haven't seen on film from Bo Nix, it probably doesn't exist, and you're not getting it against a rush. You want to see some basics. And the funny thing is, I think a lot of people don't know this, but the schools don't run pro days at their campuses. The schools host pro days at their campuses. They are run by NFL scouts. Like, NFL scouts run the show. They say who's going to go where. However, the exception is high-level quarterbacks. High-level quarterbacks bring their team, whoever they've been training with. They write the script. They have the progressions. At that point of the pro day, it's literally sort of handed over from the NFL scouts running it to say, okay, this is what everybody's here for. Go, team. And literally, like, 6, 7, 8 guys, trainers and coaches and whatever, walk out there and they talk to Caleb, and then he'll bring his receivers in. You know, it's the same thing with Bo Nix. His trainer was there and, all right, we're going to start the script. Here's what the script is. And they're going to showcase sort of short to long. They're going to warm up with touch throws, backfield, swing screens, little option routes out of the backfield, slants, just to get everybody's timing going, get people in a lather. And then they're going to move to harder throws, outs, middle field crossers. And then at the end, they'll crank up a few deep balls, especially if that's a question about that quarterback, if there's a question about arm strength, or if there's a question about deep ball accuracy, timing, whatever. You'll see more of that from quarterbacks who don't have a great deep ball throwing resume. From quarterbacks who have a lot of deep throws on tape, I imagine, like Jaden Daniels, you're not going to see a ton of deep balls. Like, you know what the deep ball is. And Caleb was the same way. He did a lot of the shorter and intermediate work. It was a very relaxed pace. His team had him on a very, very easy pace. There was like 3 or 4 throws, and they'd kind of re-huddle, get a drink of water. There'd be another 3 or 4 throws as they'd sort of shift, and then there'd be a gap. Nix's was more about rhythm and keeping him in it. They made Nix work. I'm not sure why, but he did more of his throws in a more compact session. He was sweating, and they had him moving, rolling. He was working really hard. Caleb was more relaxed about that. Again, I think coming into this, if you need to see anything that Caleb Williams hasn't done on film in a pro day, you're not going to. He was really there to support his guys, his receivers. There's a couple of good receivers in this draft, running back as well. So he was there to throw for those guys more than he was there to show off his arm. And yes, at the end, he cranked up three or four deep balls just because I put one of those on Twitter and it went bananas. But he didn't need to throw those. Like, he could have said, no, you've seen me throw the deep ball. So teams aren't necessarily going to learn a lot. They're going to watch that pace. They're going to watch that rhythm. And again, we were talking pre-podcast. You said, unless he missed 17 out of the 50, I don't care. It was nowhere close. I think four balls hit the ground. I'm not a big believer in counting that because it's not a thing, but it was a very relaxed workout. It sort of went through the typical progressions. It was a little bit shorter, I think, than most because, again, he didn't have to do it. He was just there to support his guys. His resume is on tape, and he's very solid in that.
All right. So, I mean, in terms of just talking about his throws a little bit, and Adam Hoge said he counted, and he said it was that Caleb was 46 out of 50. And of course, this isn't even 7-on-7. There's not even, you know, defensive players. It's just, you know, guys in shorts running routes. So, you know, we're not sitting there going, oh, Caleb's going to complete 92% of his passes in the pros. It's just a workout. But in terms of just watching the arm in person, because everyone always says, and you know, I've been to enough football games that it's accurate. The one that always pops out to me was Tony Romo. And I saw Tony Romo at Soldier Field just absolutely embarrass the Bears. And what shocked me was his pocket movement. The way mm-hmm. he moved in the pocket and avoided guys. And like, that was really the first time. And this was 10, 12, 15 years ago. It was a long time ago. I don't remember what it was. But it was one of those games where I had an all new respect for Tony Romo just because I got to watch him in person and went,
yes.
I know he had that label in the NFL. And I'm like, this guy knows how to ball. Like, I was impressed. So obviously, this is just a workout, but watching Caleb's arm in person, and I don't know if he was working arm angles or anything. I know he was warming up throwing left-handed because why not? But what was it watching Caleb's throws in person that popped the most for you?
It's funny you mentioned warm-ups because it was in warm-ups. Like, the throws in the script were great, but they looked like a lot of the throws on tape. They are very accurate. He generally has a very tight spin on the ball and the ball jumps. Like, he has a video game arm. There is no other way to describe that. I think Caleb Williams will have a top five arm in the NFL as soon as he enters. Like, he has a different and special arm. And where I really picked that up yesterday was in those warmups. So they're on the other half of the field. There's still, you know, other positions running behind him. So Caleb's stopping, watching his guys run, cheering them on. Then I'll turn around, throw a couple times just to get the arm loose. And watching him throw at, you know, warm-up speed, which is somewhere between, you know, 50 and 80%, he's tossing it, right? The ball is hopping on tosses. I've seen quarterbacks throwing at full speed that look like that. And he was not stressing his arm at all. And I even put out a tweet about that I was like, man, even in warm-ups, that ball jumps like that.
It looks effortless.
It is so effortless. You talked about arm angle and you talked about the ability for off platform. A lot of people have concentrated on that part of his game, but when he stands in the pocket and just rips a slant, like, it is on time. It's on target. It's a super tight spiral, hits the guy pretty much right in the chest. His accuracy is very good and it gets there in a hurry. Like, those guys have to concentrate on catching that ball. It's not the, you know, break your finger type ball, but it is coming. You better be ready for it. And they are, because they've played with him. Again, that's one benefit of a pro day, is those guys have all seen that for years now. They understand what's coming and they're ready for it. But even in warmups, the amount of velocity that he can put on the ball with very little effort is really, it's different.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And you know, you're talking about velocity and arm angles and all, and this is the one element that I love the most about Caleb Williams, and because it plays into an NFL game so much to me. And I think, from what I've seen, and I am certainly not a QB evaluator, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert QB evaluator, but in my watching of football for 40 years, so, you know, it's been a while, there are two guys that have had the best release of the football I have ever seen, and it's Dan Marino and it's Aaron Rodgers. And to me, Caleb Williams' release appears at this point, I'm going to see it in the NFL level, it appears to be that good, that it's a flick of the wrist and the ball is humming and it's perfectly accurate. And the amount that can do to get you out of trouble in a collapsing pocket or when you're moving, it's so helpful. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, compare Caleb to Justin Fields. They're two different quarterbacks, but watching Fields, and he has such a more deliberate delivery of the football. And I think that hurt him in a lot of ways in terms of that time to throw and everything that he needed, just that extra beat to get the ball off, that Caleb will be totally different in. To me, that is an aspect of the game. And I understand everything else about Caleb's game, but that flick of the wrist ability is so great. And I think it's going to be one of the best the game has seen.
It's going to be really interesting, and he's going to have to use it a lot as a young quarterback, regardless of people talking about in structure, out of structure. Plays break down in the NFL. The other side gets paid too. There's a lot of mutant defenders out there that are coming for your head if you're playing quarterback, and you will get into situations that are not ideal. And Caleb's ability to get himself out of those situations, not only with the arm, which is, you know, hyper velocity at a flick from all arm angles. You talked about that very, very quick release and the fact that he can generate so much velocity from basically no platform is going to play into his game, but he can also use his feet. He is a very good athlete from the waist down as well. His escapability in the pocket, his pocket awareness and pocket presence. You talked about Tony Romo earlier, sort of roll that in and then just add hyper athlete top and bottom. That's how you end up with these special plays. And I know Chicago loved Justin for his special plays where he demonstrated his ability as a very large quarterback who was incredibly fast to get out of the pocket, dominate smaller defenders on the edge, just out accelerate people, break angles, and occasionally whip a really good deep ball out from, you know, right near the sideline. Caleb's going to be doing that, you know, fairly often as a rookie as things break down. And I think, you know, Chicago's rule, Shane Waldron's rule for him is probably going to be, look, a lot like Andy Reid's rule for Patrick Mahomes. First 2.5 seconds are mine. Do what I say. And after that, hey, we don't want to take the cape off you. You do you, right? If you don't see it in the first 2.5 seconds, just go be Caleb Williams. We want you to protect the ball, you know, both in the pocket, which he's had some issue with. Hold that thing a little bit closer to your body, but let it rip because we know you can do that. And that's going to be a tremendous benefit for us, the Bears. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fun to watch. He has pop in all parts of his game. He's a very good runner. People are sort of talking about that less. I think maybe because Jaden Daniels is in this draft and he's an elite runner of the football. Caleb's right there in terms of yards gained and that ability to sort of have an explosive gain when it breaks down with his legs, but that's last for him. He's always looking to throw the football because he has that ability to just generate whip from literally any angle. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
All right. Let me ask you this last one on Caleb here. Two-part question. We know the ceiling for Caleb Williams is superstar, arguably best quarterback in the NFL. Now, when we say that is the ceiling. We are not saying we assume Caleb Williams is going to be Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow level. We're not saying that. We're saying he has the ability to get there, but let's also look at the other side of this and ask you, where do you think is a reasonable floor? Like, can the whole thing bottom out and he's just not even an NFL quarterback? Is it league average? Like, what's the floor for him? And knowing that, you know, there are issues that every rookie quarterback has to iron out, but the Bears have a pretty good line in front of them. And yeah, they have number 9, which could be a Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, if they're there, that would be even more help, or maybe a tackle that would be even more help to him. But for the most part, we know what this offensive unit is going to be now in 2024. So what are your expectations? So floor for Caleb Williams, and what are your expectations rookie year Caleb Williams, presuming that this Bears offense stays relatively healthy for Shane Waldron?
Yeah, I think I'll start with the second part first. It's that presumption of health. We've had that. We always have that. I think all
I understand that Jenkins could go out for the year and Allen misses 10 games. I understand that, but you know, we have to look at what
100% you know, what's on the field right now. Let's say with what's healthy and you know what's not. If everyone stays healthy, this landing spot is better for Caleb than it's been for just about any Chicago rookie quarterback coming in. They have stabilized the offensive line. They might do more work there in the draft. I think they probably will. He has better targets. I mean, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen is the best starting duo of wide receivers in Chicago in a very long time. Cole Kmet elevated his game at the end of last season. He is a, you know, easily top half tight end in the NFL. The running back room is good and might get better in the draft. That is a very good starting place. We'll see what Shane Waldron can do with that. But again, that feels at least league average coming in. So the floor, second part of that question for Caleb Williams, from everything that I've learned about him off the field, on the field, I can look at the tape and say, oh, okay, there's a lot there to work with. Off the field in terms of leadership, how his teammates react to him, how his coaches talk about him, how the guys that are coaching him now to get ready for the NFL are talking about him. I have trouble seeing him less than league average. And to me, that's like, I don't see him lower than probably like 18th at the end of the year. And that would be if like the wheels fell off.
Kyler Murray? Is that where you're looking?
A mid-pack. It's not so much player. It's
no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, Kyler Murray is a mid-pack quarterback.
Yeah. And again, a lot of it has to do with situation. We're talking about situation with it being better as a landing spot. And if the health stays, like if most people stay in the lineup, I just don't see a lot of ways that Caleb is going to fall below mid-pack, 16th to 18th, probably in the you know NFL quarterback rankings. Again, we know what the ceiling is. How quickly is he going to get there? I think expectations are running wild right now because of what CJ Stroud did last year and how quickly that happened. That was a historic run for a rookie. That was the best rookie season ever. Before that, it was Justin Herbert, and that was a very good rookie season. Although the team didn't win a lot of games in Justin Herbert's rookie year, he played very, very well for a rookie. So that seems like the top end. The bottom end to me, though, there's just so much there that he can rely on and that he's already good at. Yes, there are things to polish up. I talked about ball security in the pocket. There's some, you know, deep ball outside the numbers accuracy stuff where sometimes he throws foul balls and doesn't give his receivers a chance. But like deep over the middle of the field, very accurate. All the short stuff, extremely accurate. The stuff you build an NFL offense on in structure, slants, curls, hooks, outs, he can hit all that on time, in structure, has plenty of arm to hit that anywhere off the field, on platform or off. That is a very, very good starting base. So that says to me, at worst, mid-level in the NFL. And then if things go right, up from there.
All right. And I did say last thing for Caleb Williams, but you brought up a couple things. So just now the last thing on Caleb Williams.
Sure.
And that is personality, because we all witnessed what happened on social media and even beyond social media. Like some of these stories got printed on ESPN or CBS Sports or wherever. Like a lot of wild rumors. Now you are a guy who's been heavy in the draft circuit for a while. You were at the combine. You were able to, you know, see USC, you know, Caleb's teammates in person. You're at the pro day. You know, maybe you got a chance to talk to some USC, you know, teammates of Caleb Williams, people who've been around Caleb Williams, whether that be coaches or people like that. Like, what is your perception of Caleb Williams, the person, now that you've gotten to know people that know him compared to the wild stuff that was on social media?
I try and keep a midline about that because usually I don't have that level of access. I don't, for the most part, get to hang out and really talk with people that have been with the person themselves. Occasionally, we're lucky enough to get to talk to the person themselves, but even in a 15 or 20 minute interview, you're not going to get a lot of that stuff. It's when you're hanging around with somebody and they're relaxed and they're willing to talk about that person. And we typically don't get that. So I just try and hold that neutral because people will say all things. They'll say he's a great guy. There's reasons for that. They'll say he's a bad guy. There's reasons for that. And again, if I don't know that stuff, I listen to it, but I try not to factor it into my evaluation. in Caleb's case, this has been going on for a couple of years. Brett was at the pro day last year at USC, started talking to people at that point about, you know, hey, we know Caleb's going to be a high draft pick next year. What's he really like? Again, that those conversations continued as, you know, we went to the combine this year. And now, you know, yesterday we spent one thing people don't realize about pro days is like all the returning guys in the program come out to support all the guys that are going out in the draft. So all the juniors and, you know, freshmen, sophomores, they're all coming and seeing the whole spectacle. They're imagining themselves out there. They're cheering for their guys. They want them to have the best results. So we sat with the USC offensive line, not on purpose. We just happened to be in the bleachers. We turned around and we happened to know one of the USC offensive linemen. So he came down and talked to us, but all the other guys were right behind him. And you get a lot of, hey, he's been in the room. And, you know, the rumor was, you know, rumor X, put it up about Caleb. Basically debunk all that stuff. And that's all I've heard all along. If that was just yesterday, you'd be like, okay, look, they're selling their guys. They want Caleb to have the best possible result. But all the way along from everybody I've talked to that's had any chance to either play with or interact with Caleb, either in recruiting, his stops at Oklahoma, USC, coaches, everybody says the same thing. He's very, you know, very level. He's very smart. He's very humble. He is a great teammate. All the stuff you hear that is, there's been a lot of prima donna focused stuff. There were reports that he was demanding ownership in an NFL team that drafted him. I'll just use that story because we were literally sitting with, you know, one of his offensive linemen. He said, we were in an offensive meeting room when the ESPN alert came up on that story and Caleb got it on his phone and he looks at him and goes, would you look at this stuff? Like, you're never going to see a quote. You're never going to see a clip. It didn't happen. They're just making stuff up at this point. This is wild. Now imagine being like a 20 something year old kid with that weight on you, just sitting in an offensive meeting room, trying to, you know, walk through the plays, talking to your offensive lineman. There's been reports about him being standoffish. That can't be further from the truth. Offensive linemen were laughing at that. They're like, that's really funny because he comes in and kicks his feet up on our table and eats seeds in our offensive lineman room. So if nobody can talk to him, I don't know what he's doing. You know, all the stuff that you hear from people close to Caleb, and this is now a fairly wide array, certainly a wider array than I've had with almost any other player, all counteracts that stuff directly. Great teammate. They would all forget run through a wall for him. They'd take a bullet for him, all of them. Like, no, he's great. And the people at USC have said that since he got there. Like the day he got there from Oklahoma, everybody was like, we don't know what to expect. He's sort of the import, whatever else. They were like, team first guy, leader with us, supportive, first in, last out, that kind of a guy from day one. Like the second he got here, and it's been consistent all the way through. It's not like, oh, you might be a draft pick, so you got to polish up that image. So do all that stuff. No. From the day he arrived at USC, everybody loves this kid. And I mean, loves this kid. Not like, oh, he's a good, you can tell when people are talking about a player and they're like, oh, I'm not going to say anything bad about him because, you know, I don't want to tarnish it. No, it's gushing. Like, dude, I love that guy. Like if, you know, if I could go wherever he goes in the pros, I want to go there because I know what I'm getting. Like he's awesome. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's a complete mutant on the field, and we all just kind of, like, drop our jaws five times a week in the film review and go, dude, like, nobody we've ever seen, and these guys have all played a lot of football. Nobody we've ever seen in football can do that. So, oh, yeah, there's that, too. But the person part has been universally, like, well-loved, well-respected, great guy. And I think he saw it at the combine. Like, he goes up on the stage at the combine, he gets attacked immediately, handles it with ease. Yesterday, it was a pretty fearsome scrum. People shouting questions. You've been in these. You understand. It's kind of an aggressive environment.
Everybody's it's aggressive to get those questions
in. You know, and he is as smooth as it gets, right? He is level. He understands what this is. He understands that those people are trying to make a living too. He has a very good head on his shoulders for a kid in his 20s who has all this stuff being thrown at him, said about him, whatever else. I have, like, after this entire process, I have zero doubts about Caleb the person. And there's been a lot of stuff. And there still is a lot of stuff being thrown around online by people who have no idea, who haven't talked to anybody, who are making sort of wild assumptions about who he is as a person or player that have no idea. After talking to people in his circle, lots of them, like, I'm 100% that this guy is going to lead my team, and I'm super excited about that. People asked me yesterday, like, are you scared? Sure, I'm scared. Like, you can't be a Chicago fan and not be scared about a quarterback choice. But am I less scared about Caleb than just about anybody else in a long time? I am. I am very confident that he's got the tools in his bag to do what he needs to do to be successful.
Yeah, and obviously I have not had the access you have had the last couple months, but same thing with me. Anyone I've talked to,
yeah,
Caleb is great. It's amazing. You have no, it's a literal 180 from these things. And if you talk to the people who are like, hey man, I've heard this about, oh, who'd you hear it from? Just a guy. It's always right. A faceless guy.
Show me.
And I'm not saying they didn't hear it from someone, but it's definitely someone who didn't.
But we hear it every year. We heard it last year with Stroud. We heard it when Justin came out. Like, there are always guys in the quarterback class, and usually guys up near the top, that start getting these vague shots 2-3 months out. Like, oh, there's a leadership thing. Oh, he pouted. He did this. You know, and then.
There's a lot of Drake May stuff going behind the scenes. There's a lot of knocks on Drake May that aren't being told on ESPN or any. Like, you hear a lot of not personality stuff, but they're rumbles.
The one I heard yesterday that was really funny, that wasn't about May, but it was about the crying thing, right? Which we're not going to get into that as a particular thing. But he's like, didn't Bo Nix cry after he won? Right? And nobody said anything about that, you know? And it's like, all right. Yeah. That, you know, people are emotional. I want my players to be emotional and invested in the game. I've seen pros cry when they lose, when they get eliminated from playoff contention. People aren't, for the most part, hacking on them. But for some reason, with Caleb, it became sort of the story, one of the stories. And it's just, it couldn't be further from what you hear about the person from the people who know him.
All right. And yeah, let's finish up with one more question. And yes, I've turned into Grimace again. We actually had this technical problem solved, but I had an issue with my mic, unplugged everything. I'm just using the laptop. And here
it's,
we go.
One more time,
Grimace for everybody here. I am purple. But Ichay, there is a rumor that there were other players at the USC Pro Day other than Caleb Williams. So
yeah, I know. Weird.
Let me ask you to finish up here. I mean, and let's look at this from a Bears perspective, from Bears needs and location in the draft. So we're talking 75 overall. You know, if you think there's someone for 9, bring it up. But 75 overall, 122 overall. And let's even, if there's a UDFA type guy, who did you see at the pro day that is intriguing to you for a potential fit for the Bears and their needs and their draft locations?
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of talented players there as well, but obviously they're going to get outshone by Caleb Williams as the potential number one overall pick. Marshawn Lloyd, the running back, is a great player. I don't know that he's really going to feature in again with Bears slots and Bears needs. Taj Washington, who was, ostensibly the number two receiver behind Jerry Rice's son on that team. If you talk to a lot of the players, he was more the number one receiver when we really need it. Smaller guy, fast, great hands, really good routes. I love Taj Washington. He is going to be down the board, so he could be there at that 122-ish pick, and that would be a great start to import a slot guy that Caleb's already familiar with. I love Taj as a player regardless of where he goes, but that would be just a sort of value add. Already understands everything that Caleb does, can actually help other receivers understand that more quickly. Love Taj, got to interview him at the Shrine Bowl. I think he could be there at 122. And then really down the board, there's a fascinating story that I want to bring up, and it's more in the UDFA range, but the center for USC, not this past season, but the season before, actually blew up his knee in the very last game of their season, which is the worst possible timing because he was ready to come out for the draft. He did declare for the draft. Nobody selected him, so his rights are still there. He has been rehabbing all year. His name is Brett Nealon. He is a very good zone center. He doesn't have a ton of size, but if you look at his tape is really good. And, you know, who needs a zone center? Half the league. So he was there healthy, working out. We, again, were able to talk to some of his line mates who've seen him, played with him for the last 2 or 3 years. And if, you know, Ryan Poles is smart, and I think he is, he was, you know, shaking Caleb Williams' dad's hand while he was going, I bet I can get that guy as a backup center as a UDFA. And he was really good, and everybody's forgotten about him. He looks healthy. He had great tape. He's certainly not going to be on the top of anybody's radars. Just one of those really interesting stories at a pro day. I was like, man, that guy's moving really good. Who's that? And, you know, his tackle said, oh, it's Brett Nealon. Like, he blew up his, I was like, oh yeah. Cause we talked about this pre-podcast. I flush draft classes every year cause there's another 300 to memorize. But I was like, oh yeah, he looks good. He said he's been rehabbing the entire year now. He's going to be, you know, by the time you get to the season, a year and a half removed for that injury. So he's going to have that explosion back. Needs to put on a little weight, but his great movement skills, really good pass blocker. So keep an eye on Brett Nealon as a sort of sleeper UDFA gem possibility that Ryan Poles could sort of pick off the pile and get real value for.
All right. Well, there it is. Barely a podcast, but 40 minutes doesn't really qualify as barely. But when you're talking Caleb Williams, it's hard to stop. EJ Snyder, of course, at Football EJ. You can catch him on Windy City Gridiron's array of podcasts and, of course, Bootleg Football with Brett Coleman. EJ, thanks for hopping on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And EJ will be on Bears Banter here in a few weeks when we do our big NFL draft preview. So look forward to that. And bear down, everybody. We are one step closer to Caleb Williams being a Bear. Adios.